So page 1000, Matthew 28, and picking up the story at verse 8. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say, 'His disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble.'" So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." And then over to 1 Peter chapter 1 on page 1217. And starting the reading from verse 3. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. The heading being "Praise to God for a Living Hope." Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who, through faith, are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
Thank you, Robert. We're going to spend some time at the Lord's table now together. And well, the theme of this morning is resurrection, in case you didn't know. But I want to put a little word on the end of it. Resurrection wonder. Resurrection wonder. Very similar, maybe, to the wonder that people felt when this guy walked into the room when he was supposed to have been dead. Resurrection wonder. You know, Easter seems such a long time ago now. When was it? Was it December?
April.
We had the eggs. I only had one, I think. We had the chocolate rabbits and the daffodils. That special morning when we came into church saying, "Happy Easter to everyone," has gone. a special time that may or may not be experienced again. We can get back to normal now. But hold on. I want to tell you a story. Who used to say that? Max Bygraves. I want to tell you a story. Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. Once upon a time, there was a man called Jesus. He came to show us what God is like and how much this God loves us. He taught people about God. He healed people. He loved people. But most of all, he challenged people concerning their relationship with God and their relationship with their fellow man. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself was his call to the people. The problem was that there were those, particularly the religious leaders, who didn't want some little upstart from Galilee to have any influence in the community whatsoever. They arrested him. They interrogated him. They flogged him and spat at him. And then they sentenced him to death. They couldn't understand the ways of God, even though he stood right in front of them. He was nailed to a cross and he was left to die. And he did. He died. They thought that his death was the end, but couldn't have been more wrong. He rose from the dead on the third day after his execution. By the working of God's mighty power, death was defeated and new life came into the world through his resurrection. For without his resurrection, the Spirit would not have been given to his followers. What a wonderful fairy story. That's what it used to be for me. How could anyone rise from death? That was my major problem. I had to get through that to be able to call Jesus my Lord and my Saviour. And that was not an easy thing for me to try and work out on my own. As it happened, God had some intervention here to help me along the road. That's what it is, you know, to many people known to me personally. A fairy story. Many of my friends and family members. It's a very nice story if you like to believe that kind of thing. That's up to you. A fairy story made up by Grandad so that we can feel better about ourselves and our future. In his book, Living the Resurrection, Eugene Peterson asserts that the resurrection of Jesus isn't just proof of his divinity, nor is the event something that Christians should celebrate on one day of the liturgical year and then forget. The resurrection has crucial relevance for our everyday spiritual life. Christians too can live as if the resurrection never happened. Did you know that? It's something we might take off the shelf from time to time. But that isn't part of our being every day of our lives. We might find it on a Sunday, we might not. We might come in, down in the dumps, we might go off home, down in the dumps. That what we participated in here was of no effect. He believes that one of the things we need to do, does Peterson, is to soak its reality into our daily living and above all to wonder at this amazing event and its transforming power in our lives. Meet Jesus and the fairy story becomes a reality. Indeed, it is when the fairy story becomes reality that our lives change from those without hope, clinging on to some idea of a loving God at the end of our days, if there is one, to the certainty that our lives, both now and after death, are held in the palm of God's hand. I love Dad's Army. I can't believe it's still being shown on telly. It's a slot we hate to miss. What time is Dad's Army on tonight? Saturday night. There's hardly anything else on that's worth looking at. We've got to look at Dad's Army. And they keep moving the time. The characters are so funny. Private Pike. Mum wouldn't want me to do that. Uncle Arthur. That's awfully nice. Corporal Jones. Permission to speak, sir. Don't panic. Private Walker. Private Godfrey. Private Fraser. We're doomed. Captain Mannering. You stupid boy. The Verger. I'll have to tell the Vicar. It does make me laugh, that chap. A few years back, from now, in my previous church in Croydon, we decided that as part of our outreach program, we would organise face-to-face interviews in a coffee bar environment with well-known people who were Christians. One of a series of people that we invited along was Frank Williams, and the character he played was the Dad's Army Vicar, the Reverend, anyone know? Timothy Farthing. Meeting Frank was a real eye-opener. Hearing about his life was fascinating. Up to the year 2000, he was a lay member of the Church of England Synod. He's 80 years of age now, but still active in his chosen career. Now, every time I watch Dad's Army, I see it and his part in it with different eyes. When I see him acting out his part, I see behind the story to the reality of the man of faith that he is. Meeting Jesus changed his life, and he now lives that life in the light of the resurrection. We do, so many of us, live our lives as if the resurrection hasn't happened. That's sad. When we first met Jesus and heard about how he lived his life and listened to his teaching about God, we responded to the call to follow as we sensed the wonder of the resurrection and its meaning for us. We were so enlivened in spiritual things, so alive to God. Do you remember those days when you first responded to him? So alive. I remember in my own life, periods where I just couldn't put my Bible down. Now I have to confess, sometimes I wonder where it is. Well, I do know where it is, actually. It's on the shelf. But there were periods where I felt a deep yearning to tell others about this wonderful God. But there have also been times when the world in which I live has overwhelmed me and pushed out the things of God. Times of bereavement, times of sickness, of insecurity, of redundancy on more than one occasion. Back on the job hunt, mortgage to pay, mouths to feed, 3 kids. Can't go hungry. Where did that resurrection wonder go? That wonder we first knew. Look at the followers of Jesus shown to us in the scriptures in similar circumstances. Devastated, crushed by the world after his death. For a time in their lives as they lived close to Jesus, they were enthusiastic, they were motivated. Now, having to deal with his death, they've forgotten what he said. Thomas needing proof. Us needing answers to our prayers. In Mark's Gospel, 8:31, 9:31, 10:34, we find He taught his followers that he would suffer many things at the hand of the elders. Were they death? He would suffer many things at the hand of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, be betrayed, be killed, and rise again after 3 days. They either didn't understand or really didn't want to ask him about such life-changing things. Peter, one of his closest friends, reprimanded Jesus for saying such things because he didn't want to hear the truth. There was a sense in which they could only see defeat and just couldn't see the wonder and the triumph of the possibility of resurrection. They failed to recall the promises of Jesus concerning the future. That too can happen to us. Overwhelmed by difficulty and loss, we can fail to recall the promises of Jesus concerning our future. We fail to hear those words of the resurrected Jesus. Peace be with you. My peace I give to you. I will be with you to the end of the age. Our lives, even though we're members of God's family, are interspersed with periods of darkness, are they not? Could there possibly be anyone here in this room this morning who has not experienced those periods of darkness? Just like the followers of Jesus. There are times when we can see only the darkness and it's overwhelming and we find it hard to see any light. Times of loss and disappointment, of separation and pain. Jesus' life has ended, his body placed in a tomb, sealed by a stone, just to make sure. The gospel records for us the events of that first day of the week, and we get a real insight into who's important and who isn't in the church. I'm not saying men aren't important, but there are two women here, the two Marys. They'd seen where the body had been put. And what is so interesting, that if you read Matthew 27, you'll find the enemies of Jesus hadn't forgotten that he said he'd rise again, like the disciples had seemed to, that he had said he would rise again. The order was given to put a seal around the stone and to set a guard of soldiers close by. Why would they have done that if they didn't take him seriously? But nothing is impossible with God. We find that he intervenes with an earthquake and with angels. Go quickly and tell his disciples he's risen from the dead. Fearful yet filled with joy, the two women ran to tell the disciples resurrection wonder had come into their lives. And in addition to the two Marys, there's another woman involved called Salome. The three women have prepared themselves to do a job, that's to embalm the body of Jesus. Their main preoccupation was this: who will roll away the stone from the entrance to the tomb? Mark 16:3. They expected to have to deal with a problem. But there was no problem. Don't be afraid, said the angel. He's risen. He's not here. How many times in our lives do we find ourselves earthbound with worry over a problem that we foresee and fail to give it over to God? How many times does our earthbound fear cause us to become paralyzed because we don't hand things over to God? How many times do we forget that Christ is risen and wanting to be intimately involved in our lives, and yet, like those three women, we live our lives in trembling and bewilderment and fear? Preoccupied with the obstacles, weighed down by the negatives. Luke 24 recalls even more women accompanying the two Marys to the tomb. Again, angels, messengers from God were recorded as being there, and their message was this: why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here, he is risen. Remember how we told you. Here again is a reminder to us. Remember how he told you through his word by his spirit. Remember how he changed your life in those first days. Stop looking for a way out among dead things for the fulfillment in your life. Look to the living God. They did remember. Now they've been reminded. They had heard the words of Jesus concerning him rising from death, but they didn't live their lives in the light of that promise. Probably because they didn't believe it could really happen. The promises of Jesus are ours as well, you know. Let's go out and live our lives in resurrection wonder. The women weren't the only ones that couldn't grasp the magnitude of what had happened. They told the events of the morning to the men. The great, the guys who were in charge, the men. And the men, guess what? Didn't believe them. Well, can you believe it? The men didn't believe the women. They thought, and it's a fabulous little text, they thought their words seemed like nonsense. Any men around here like that? No comment. There was, however, one man who did react to what they had to say. And that was Peter. And he went and he looked for himself. He looked into the empty tomb and went away wondering to himself what had happened. Note, he went and looked for himself. His was no second-hand faith. John's Gospel records two men reacting to the news given by Mary Magdalene. They were Peter and John. Peter enters the tomb first. John follows and believes that Jesus has risen. What Peter thought isn't recorded here, but let me suggest, maybe when you go home, maybe this afternoon, just before you drop off to sleep, you read Acts 2 and read the sermon that Peter preached concerning the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's where you discover what Peter thought. Out of the fear of the locked room and not wanting to know the truth comes from Peter the certainty of the resurrection. What I find encouraging about these resurrection stories is the fact that the followers of Jesus aren't portrayed as being superhumans. Peter was far from that. They're shown to be just like us, affected by our fears and uncertainties, our doubts, our tragedies, and our mistakes. Yet we, like them, are forgiven people. We're people of the resurrection. Looking with wonder upon the empty cross and the empty tomb, called to live lives in the wonder of the resurrection, called to pass on the good news to others. For never forget, nothing is impossible with God. Even death is defeated. Amen. Let's just pray. God of resurrection, we pray for those who see and feel only the effects of death. For those in war-torn parts of the world where bullets and bombs have wrought misery and despair, we see the suffering, and resurrection seems only a dream. For those in areas blighted by poverty, where economic policy and financial crisis bring with them hunger and anger, we see the lack of hope, and resurrection does seem like a fairy tale. For those crippled by broken relationships, where hatred and animosity inflict sorrow and anguish upon vulnerable people, we feel the deepest pain, and resurrection seems like a pointless myth. For your church, in all its brokenness, injustice, and hypocrisy, we quietly wonder whether resurrection is an empty doctrine. We look to you and wonder whether the cross has the final word, whether the world's powers always have and always will crush the innocent, whether justice is empty myth, whether our hope has any real substance. But we worship you, the fragile God, nailed to an execution stake, mocked by enemies and killed without mercy. And yet in your fragile, vulnerable state, we see the true power of God that opens tombs, opens hearts, and awakens hope. Resurrection God, shake the ground beneath our feet and make us agents of the new life that can penetrate every dark corner of our world and our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.